This is Wendy Bauer returning with the Decatur Herald and Review dated October 19th, 2015. We will continue now with the obituaries. Irma Eileen Baker, Decatur. Irma Eileen Bracken Baker, 85, passed away on September 15th, 2015, surrounded by her sons Dan, Andrew, and Lee Baker and Krista Schaefer, Lee's fiance. Services will be on Saturday, October 24th at New Day Community Church, 4191 Greenswich Road, Decatur, with 10 a.m. visitation, 11 a.m. church service, interment at Friends Creek Cemetery in Argenta, and a church luncheon following. All are invited. Thomas Lee Corman, Decatur. Thomas Lee Corman, 66, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away on Saturday, October 17, 2015. Private family graveside services will be held on Thursday, October 22nd at 2 p.m. at Point Pleasant Cemetery in Long Creek, Illinois. The family would like to invite Tom's family and friends to an open house to honor Tom on Saturday, October 24th, from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Corman Family Farm, 6096 Ocean Trail Road, Decatur. Memorials may be made to Cancer Care Center of Decatur or Passion Community Church in Mount Zion, Illinois. Barbara K. Gallivan, Ivesdale. Barbara K. Gallivan, 76, of Ivesdale, Illinois, passed away at 5:15 p.m. on Thursday, October 15, 2015, at her residence in Ivesdale, Illinois. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. on Tuesday, October 20th, at St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Ivesdale, Illinois. Visitation will be held from 5 to 8 p.m. on Monday, October 19th, 2015, with a rosary service at 4:30 p.m., also at the church in Ivesdale. Memorial contributions can be made to St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Ivesdale. Tom A. Greenewalt, Decatur. Tom A. Greenewalt, 77, of Decatur, passed away Saturday, October 17, 2015, in Decatur Memorial Hospital. Honoring Tom's wishes, cremation services will be provided. No services are planned at this time. Sarah Blair, Decatur. Sarah Adeline Blair, 88, of Decatur, passed away at 12:35 a.m. Friday, October 16, 2015, in St. Mary's Hospital, Decatur. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation beginning at 9:30 a.m. until 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesday, October 21st, 2015, at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Mount Zion. Private family burial will be in the Red Brush Cemetery, Louisville, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorials to Calvary Baptist Church. David E. Colclaser, Mount Auburn. David E. Colclaser, 73, of Appleville, rural Mount Auburn, Illinois, passed away unexpectedly Thursday, October 15, 2015, in Decatur Memorial Hospital. Per David's request, only private family services will be held at a later date. Joe A. Dinger, Decatur. Joe A. Dinger, 72, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away on Friday, October 16, 2015, in his residence. A service to celebrate Joe's life will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. on Wednesday, October 21, 2015, at Dawson and Wyckoff North Chapel. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation from 5 to 8 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday. Joe will be laid to rest in Salem Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be directed to the Scoville Zoo or the Humane Society of Decatur and Macon County. Verneil Jane Fryman, Decatur. Verneil Jane Fryman, 85, died October 16, 2015, in Decatur, Illinois. Funeral services will be 3 o'clock p.m. Monday, October 19, 2015, at Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Home in Decatur, Illinois, with a visitation from 1 to 3 o'clock p.m. Burial will be in Mount Gilead Cemetery in Decatur, Illinois. Memorials may be made to Fair Havens Christian Home. Frieda E. Funk, Decatur. Frieda E. Funk, 91, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away at 11:57 p.m. on Wednesday, October 14, 2015. A service to celebrate Frieda's life will be held at 11 a.m. on Monday, October 19th, at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, 515 West Wood Street, Decatur, Illinois. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation 1 hour prior to the services on Monday. Frieda will be laid to rest next to her husband Melvin at Point Pleasant Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be directed to St. John's Lutheran Church. Carol Elizabeth Gifford of Decatur. Carol Elizabeth Gifford, 57, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away 6:45 a.m. Thursday, October 15, 2015, at home with family at her side. Graveside services will be at 1 o'clock p.m. Wednesday, October 21st, 2015, at Camp Butler National Cemetery, Riverton, Illinois. Celebration of life to follow at the Rendezvous Bar at 3 o'clock p.m. Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Home is handling the arrangements. Memorials may be made to American Cancer Society. Omer D. Helmuth, Arthur. Omer D. Helmuth, 75, of Arthur, died at 11:44 a.m. Friday, October 16, 2015, in Chesterville. Funeral services will be held at 9 o'clock a.m. Monday, October 19, 2015, at HCK West Building, 2004 County Road 1800 East, Arthur, Illinois. Visitation will be held after 1:30 p.m. Saturday at HCK West Building. Burial will be in Otto Cemetery in Arthur. Lori Ann Hunsley, Argenta. Lori Ann Hunsley, 42, of Argenta, Illinois, passed away at 11:05 a.m. October 16, 2015, in Decatur, Illinois. Celebration of life services will be 10 o'clock a.m. Tuesday, October 20th, 2015, at Calvert Funeral Home, Argenta, Illinois, with Reverend James Bossler officiating. Burial will follow at Point Pleasant Cemetery, Long Creek, Illinois. There will be no visitation held. Memorials may be directed to the Temple Baptist Church, Decatur, Illinois. Joyce Ann Wilson, Decatur. Joyce Ann Wilson, 80, of Bloomington, Illinois, formerly of Decatur, Illinois, passed away at 3:20 a.m. Saturday, October 17, 2015, at Heartland Healthcare in Normal, Illinois. Visitation will be 6 to 8 p.m. Monday, October 19th, at Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Home, 2827 North Oakland Avenue, Decatur. There will also be visitation from 1 to 2 p.m. Tuesday, October 20th, with a 2 o'clock p.m. funeral service at Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home, 106 East Center Street, Fairfield. Burial will follow at Maple Hill Cemetery, Fairfield. J. Roger Miller. Dr. J. Roger Miller, now of Durham, North Carolina, passed away at the age of 88 at Croadsdale Village on October 14, 2015. Dr. Miller was born on July 16, 1927 in Dahlville, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests gifts may be made to Millikan University, 1184 West Main Street, Decatur, Illinois, or to UMRH Foundation for the benefit of Crowsdale Village, 2600 Crowsdale Farm Parkway, Suite A500, Durham, North Carolina, 27705. A memorial service will be held on Friday, October 16th, 2015, at 11 o'clock a.m. at Few Chapel, Crowsdale Village, Durham, North Carolina. At a later time, there will be a service at Millikan University in Decatur. Stephen T. Sprague, Elwyn. Stephen T. Sprague, Sr., 66, of Elwyn, Illinois, died on Thursday, October 15, 2015. A graveside service to celebrate Steve's life will be held at 11 o'clock a.m., Monday, October 19, 2015, in Mount Gilead Cemetery. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation beginning at 3 p.m. until 5 p.m. Sunday afternoon at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home. Casual attire is requested for the services. Memorials may be made to the Elwyn United Methodist Church or American Cancer Society. Bill Dale Moore of Decatur. Bill Dale Moore, 76, of Decatur, passed away Wednesday, October 14, 2015, in McKinley Court Nursing Home. Funeral services to celebrate Bill's life will be at 10 a.m. Monday, October 19, 2015, in Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Burial will be in Long Point Cemetery in Niantic. Memorials are suggested to St. Jude Children's Hospital. James Leroy Owens, Decatur. James Leroy Owens, 91, passed away on October 15, 2015 at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Visitation will be held from 5 to 6 o'clock p.m., followed immediately by a memorial service at 6 o'clock p.m. on Monday, October 19th at Antioch Christian Church, 5409 U.S. 36, Decatur, Illinois. And now further news from the Decatur Herald and Review, feature article by Tony Reed. Decatur Man in the Grip of Creativity with Baby Bottle. The article begins with a photograph of William Hood sitting in front of his first patented item, the Baby Hold Me, a bottle holder to help little ones keep hold of their bottles. It was love at first grip. 10-month-old Zoe Williams slipped her chubby fingers through the fabric straps on the bright and elasticated fabric cover around her bottle, and her dazzling baby blues sparkled with delight. Then, in one fluid motion, she picked up the bottle and piloted it toward her smiling mouth. Voila! As easy as taking candy from a baby, the Baby Hold Me bottle holder had won another satisfied customer. She's on table food now, so her cup gets greasy from the food and hard for her to hold, explains Zoe's mom, Beth Williams, a foods teacher at MacArthur High School. The holder really works. William Hood Jr., 25, is the Baby Hold Me inventor who hopes one day to be gurgling all the way to the bank on the strength of his creative mind. The Decatur Man is an inventor who believes in the wisdom of Thomas Edison, who said, "Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time." After naysayers once reduced him to tears by ridiculing some of his previous inventive tryouts, Hood determined to go back to the drawing board and hatch a winner. It took him about 60 days of planning, trial and error, to come up with a baby bottle holder that's so easy to grip, even a baby could do it. Why his neurons fired up on the subject of a bottle holder is more slippery to explain, Hood having no babies of his own yet. But the talented drummer who plays in bands and dances to his own creative rhythm long ago took a friend's advice to heart about where to target his teeming imagination. He said, invent something for babies, pregnant women, or dogs, Hood says, because there are always going to be pregnant women, and there are always going to be babies, and people love dogs. I've been going with babies now, but I'm working on the other two. He was inspired to try for the brass ring after being taken under the wing of Kevin Brahini, president of J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds. Hood was part of a band hired to play music at Brahini's birthday and took the opportunity to seek some advice about how to succeed in life. He is kind of a mentor to me, he says. He told me to go for it. You never know if it's going to work until you try. Hood has been busy getting his idea patented, but didn't have to look too far to find a handy, capable production facility. He happens to know talented seamstress Brianna Doerr, an 18-year-old senior at MacArthur, which is also his own alma mater, and she introduced him to Leslie Duncak, who teaches family and consumer science classes. Duncak frequently has talented students take on outside projects to get some real-world sewing experience, and her students are now stitching the cup holders. William came in here and spoke to my students and told how it all happened, how he came to invent the holder, Duncak says. It's a great way for them to see from the get-go how a project is launched. The students selected to work on the holders after regular class get reimbursed for their efforts, and Hood is thrilled to have a production team that, unlike himself, isn't taking baby steps when it comes to manipulating a needle and thread. I cried in frustration the first time I tried to make the little straps for the holder, Hood says. That was so hard. You can get a baby hold me for $10 directly from the creator, and Hood plans to have them for sale online while dreaming of winning retail shelf space somewhere. Of course, if some major store raises a glass to his inventive flair and drops an order for 70,000 baby hold-me's, he'll have to find himself a full-fledged factory to handle the workload, but he is happy to drink to that possibility. It would be a great problem to have, he says. Really, really great. And an article from Decatur, Renovations Give That New School Feel. From Valerie Wells, staff writer. When Eisenhower High School was dedicated on November 17, 1958, then-Mayor Clarence Sablotny thanked Decatur taxpayers who, for the most part, were not disgruntled by spending for advances in education, according to newspaper accounts. The baby boomers, who filled Decatur schools until they were bursting at the seams, were why Decatur needed 9 new elementary schools, 2 new high schools, and additions on 6 other buildings between 1949 and 1957. In September 1957, 15,600 students registered for classes in Decatur's 30 schools, which included MacArthur and Eisenhower, though at the time Eisenhower wasn't quite ready for occupancy. Sophomores, juniors, and seniors attended classes at Stephen Decatur High School, which was then downtown, while freshmen stayed in junior high school buildings temporarily. By 1968, there were more than 21,000 students in Decatur's schools, which included 4 high schools, 6 junior highs, and 29 elementary schools. Eisenhower and MacArthur, the only 2 remaining public high schools in Decatur, are both open again and serving students after extensive renovations, giving this generation of students the same feeling the students of 50 years ago had when the buildings were brand new. In the years just prior to the decision to build those 2 new high schools, the Decatur Herald and Daily Review, then separate newspapers, ran stories and letters to the editor on the topic of the need, or lack of it, for new schools. The Decatur School Board had approved a $7 million bond issue that required a referendum, the equivalent of $62.5 million in today's money. That bond issue was in 1953 and was used to pay for 3 new elementary schools, a 9-room addition to Harris School, and the 2 new high schools. A previous bond issue, from 1949, paid for the rest of the expansion. Until the new high school's 7th, 8th, and 9th grades attended junior highs. I think we were the first class to start as true freshmen, and we graduated in 1962, Terry Smith said. They ended up splitting Stephen Decatur, which was the only high school, and took a couple of upper classes and moved them out. During Smith's high school years, the Vietnam War was underway and intensifying, and he remembers talk among the boys about going to Canada to avoid the draft. During his junior and senior years, he went to school half days and worked the other half, and became a plumber after graduation. He spent the past 18 years before retirement in the maintenance department of Decatur Schools. I remember my dad telling me the day I graduated, "Turn around and look, son. You'll never be back in this school like this again," Smith said. And though he has been in the building many times and in the other district buildings, his father was right, he said. It was never quite the same. Times were very different in the early 1960s, said Cinda Bauer Ferris, who went to Eisenhower. The dress code called for girls to wear skirts, boys to wear slacks and tucked-in shirts, and jeans were not allowed. Skirts had to reach the knee, and Ferris recalled with a chuckle that she was sent home a couple of times to change due to her skirt not being quite long enough. "That was the worst behavior that ever happened," she said. "Things were more relaxed. It was a happy time." Going to a brand new building that she had watched being built because she lived nearby was exciting. The public schools were integrated as far back as she could remember, and students got along, she said. "We just didn't have conflicts," she said. She's still in touch with one of her teachers, Carol Rahill, who substitute teaches and talked Ferris into doing so as well. Ferris and her husband James began dating as freshmen in high school. Homecoming was a casual dance, and girls wore sweaters and skirts rather than party dresses. Usually, a group went together, saving the special date and dressing up for prom. B.A. Butts, a school board member, retired Decatur teacher, and graduate of Eisenhower High School, said that when he entered as a freshman in 1958, Eisenhower represented the latest in educational facilities. The only drawback was the unfinished athletic fields, requiring Eisenhower, MacArthur, and Stephen Decatur all to use Piggott Field. MacArthur and Eisenhower were sports rivals, but everyone supported Stephen Decatur, he said. All sports teams were so good that people often said the state basketball tournament was held here in Decatur during regional play, Butts said. Decatur was at the pinnacle of academic success during these times, and our public schools were the finest in the state. It was an honor to teach at Decatur. If you wanted a seat at a basketball game, he said, you had to arrive very early, even if you had a season ticket, and many students did. It was a fantastic time to be a teenager, live in Decatur, and be a student at Decatur Public Schools, he said. Also from Tony Reed, the feature article, Sangamon Valley Fishing Tourney, a Keeper, from Weldon. A bad day fishing is still a better catch than most days at school. Buoyed by that comforting thought, more than 60 high school anglers hit Clinton Lake on Sunday for an inaugural Sangamon Valley High School Fall Classic Bass Tournament. The sunny and warm weather was glorious under azure skies, but slow-biting largemouth and smallmouth bass made it only a C-plus day on the fishing front. But seldom was heard a discouraging word as the anglers' boats, which had set out at 7 a.m., returned to Clinton Lake Marina in Weldon at 2 p.m. "Is it better to be out here than at school? For sure," said Haley Redding, 15, who fished for Mount Zion High School. Schools competed in two-person teams with an adult coach or boat captain. Redding was partnered with Hunter Camden, also 15, while Hunter's dad, Tony, handled the boat chores. The students caught a couple of undersized fish, but the one keeper largemouth, all 1.5 pounds of him, fell to Redding. "Yeah, it was tough out there," she added, "but we all enjoyed it." Even the captains, who can only advise and point to promising spots or fish rises, had fun. "I love coming out and watching them fish," said Tony Camden, who has 30 anglers but only 2 girls on the Mount Zion team. "It's worth all the effort. It's a blast." Student fishermen came from as far as the Chicago suburbs to take part, but it was a Southern Illinois team from Benton Consolidated High School that won the day with a very respectable weight of nearly 8 pounds. The top finishers all got large trophies and prizes that included gift certificates and tackle. There were also drawings for more prizes and a raffle, with the tournament proceeds helping to keep the Sangamon Valley fishing team in Niantic afloat. Jason Doty launched the team 3 years ago with the help of fellow captains Kyle Knave and David Campbell. The school was wary about the costs involved, but the captains promised they would not tap school funds, and they've kept their word. Doty said the captains hope to make Sunday's fundraiser tournament an annual event, and he said schools across the state stage similar contests to support their own teams and provide another excuse to test students' piscatorial skills. "These kids are very competitive," Doty said, "and they love to go fishing." And finally, an article by Sharon Barraclough for the Herald and Review. "Budget Crisis Slows Gift Program," from Shelbyville. Illinois' deepening budget crisis has spread to affect a Shelby County volunteer program that provides Christmas presents for underprivileged children. Angel of Love volunteers take children's gift request tags from angel trees placed throughout Shelby County, purchase gifts, and return them to the sponsoring church group, which wraps and delivers the gifts. Parents apply for the program, but this year applications, which are usually mailed out by the Illinois Department of Human Services, are being sent home through schools and available at area businesses. This year, with the lack of an Illinois budget, DHS was unable to mail the applications, program coordinator Megan Miller said. "So we're doing our best to get the information in the hands of people who need it." Miller said the program moves between area churches, and this year, First Christian Church of Cowden is taking the lead. "Even though it's not what Christmas is about, you can imagine being a child waking up with nothing to open, or imagine being the parent who has nothing to give. We want to make sure everyone can enjoy the Christmas season," she said. Miller said her group would accept applications from Cowden, Herrick, Mode, Lakewood, Oconee, Westervelt, Clarksburg, and Shelbyville this year, with applications available from Shelbyville and Cowden-Herrick schools, and at the Oconee Mini Mart, CEFS in Shelbyville, Cowden Bank, and Herrick Bank. Applications are due back October 30th to Angel of Love, P.O. Box 251, Shelbyville, Illinois 62565, or dropped off at First Christian Church in Cowden. Other communities in Shelby County have started their own programs that are available through the schools, she said. "We're concerned about having enough time to get the applications in and the shopping done before the holidays." This has been Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review on Monday, October 19th, 2015. I look forward to reading with you again soon. Thank you.